Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Authority. Where does it rest? We might have some idea about that in the civic world and those who are elected to be authorities and so forth. Where does authority lie in the church? This has been a burning issue, really, throughout the history of Christianity. The absolute authority of God is really not in question, but the question is exactly how does this work out among us? When Martin Luther declared in the midst of an important debate early in his career that a simple layman armed with the scriptures is mightier than the greatest of popes and councils without them, it came down like a bolt of lightning. He was not the only one to have said something like this, but it was his boldness in saying it and his defiance of commonly held views that was so revolutionary. And the key words were, armed with Scripture, that is, the writings of the Bible. And sometime later, Luther added that popes and councils have often erred and contradicted one another. So it really wasn't so much doctrines that Luther believed and taught that got him in trouble with the established church and state at the time, but rather his bold defiance of humanly devised systems of authority. And that brings us back to the question, where does authority lie in matters of faith and life with God? The gospel reading before us today does answer that question with clarity, and as it shows us that Jesus taught and acted with authority. In the first place, there was authority in his words, in what he taught. The people at Capernaum, which was apparently a kind of a home base for Jesus in his Galilean ministry, were very amazed at that. Now, it was apparently Jesus' regular custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, the place of gathering from which our modern-day congregations are modeled somewhat. And visiting teachers or rabbis were very often invited to speak a word or offer some comments on the basis of some section of the sacred writings. So what was it that Jesus said that was so astounding? We have no idea. We are not told here at all what he said. But in Mark's gospel, how he taught is what he taught. In the very first verse of the Gospel of Mark, it says it in a very few words. It says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That comprises it all. The good news of Jesus, that is the Savior, the Rescuer, the Christ, the promised one of God, like God had said to the prophet Moses. He is the Son of God. His authority is absolute. And throughout the Gospels, he acts with power and authority, especially over the forces of evil, bringing good news about himself as Savior and Messiah, the divine Son of God, sent from heaven. They were astonished at his teaching. Literally, the word means thunderstruck. It was truly astounding to them because it was so unlike the teachers of the day. He did not say things like, well, I think it might be this way, or it seems to me, or it may be this way, or it might be that way. I'm not really sure, so what do you think? That is not at all the way he taught. Rather, he would say, but I say to you, as the ultimate authority with the emphasis on the word I. As if to say there is no other final authority than I myself. He captivated the hearts and minds as no one ever had before, for he taught them as one who had authority. Now, where is that authority today? Some might say it doesn't exist, or even that it never really did. Well, the authority certainly does not rest in any of us as ourselves. Now, we may be able to speak with some authority and some expertise on a variety of subjects, but we are not the final authority on very much. maybe really not on anything. And a person of faith is not afraid to admit that. We are all still learning and growing and sometimes in need of correction and always ready for new insights and revisions of our opinions. The church is not an authority structure made up of ascending ranks of power and position. We are all servants under the one final authority, who is Jesus himself, the one and only head of the church, and he has not abdicated that authority to anyone else. And his authority does still speak today, not in humanly devised structures or in any one person or group of persons, but in the Word, in the inspired writings, which testify reliably and accurately to the very same Jesus who amazed the people at Capernaum with his authority. We live in a time when it is generally frowned upon for anybody to ever say, this is absolutely true, and this is absolutely false. Because the general opinion is that there really is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, that may be true about a variety of things, but it is not true in matters of faith. Jesus said, I am the truth. He didn't say a truth, but the truth. And he promised that in following him, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He established a teaching and preaching ministry to do as he said, to continue in all that I have commanded you. And that's not just a list of true statements of belief, but it is about the genuine, real way to live and the real way to God. Now, it is true we don't have answers to every question, but we do know the truth in Jesus. We know that he will not ever lead us astray. But let's not misunderstand this. We are not talking about being obstinate, stubborn, inflexible people who never listen to anybody but ourselves. We are talking about being faithful to the Word, which testifies to Jesus, which proclaims the great acts of God on behalf of his people, faithful to God himself. Then and only then can we say, this teaching about God is right, or this way of life is true, and that way is not true. God's people can speak and live with authority as we get down deeply into the Word of God and as we know and speak the deeds of God and Jesus, our Savior and Lord. With authority, we can say Jesus is the truth. And let me show you what that means for me and for you. But Jesus not only spoke with authority, he acted with authority. Authority over the powers of evil and hell and death. This is demonstrated powerfully in the first of his miraculous deeds recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Throughout Mark, from which most of our Gospel readings will be taken this year, Jesus is always doing battle with the forces of evil. And that is a battle that goes on in real life. And it is represented by this man who is possessed by an evil spirit. And he is present in the synagogue. Yes, the devil does go to church and is present at times. But he hears the authoritative word of Jesus, and it is evil that speaks in the man, not the man himself. And not with joy or enthusiasm or amazement, but most likely fear and dread. And Jesus brings no comfort to evil, but victory over it, and with authority. So the unholy demonic powers, so successful in deceiving humanity in the beginning and ever since, are no match for the power of Jesus. He speaks a word, be silent. Literally, shut up. And the spirit melts before him in flight. The point is this: the power of evil and death must obey the Lord of life. They were amazed at it. What is this? A new teaching with authority, they say. And truly it was, and truly it still is. Because with that same authority, Jesus would take that battle over the forces of destruction and evil to his cross. The cross would seem to be defeat. But it is the victory of God's love, as the Holy One of God offers himself as the final ransom for all of our guilt and sin, to say it is accomplished. Eternal rescue is ours. At the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, he is declared to be the Son of God. And beneath the cross, there stands the centurion who says, "Surely, this man is the Son of God." It is his victory. And he gives us the new life of forgiveness and renewal and hope and purposeful living. Oh, the battle goes on in life. There will still be the whispering voice of Satan to our afflicted conscience: "You are hopeless and lost. You are worthless. Your life is meaningless. There is no hope. All is lost." But Jesus speaks, and he says, "Be silent. Be gone, evil one. This is my beloved child. Marked with my cross forever in the washing of holy baptism, you can bring no charge against him or her." With authority, he drives away the devils of despair, dejection, and desperation, and he replaces them with hope, confidence, and eternal joy. Oh yes, the battle goes on, and life can get very complicated at times, and the demonic forces, our own sinful selves in a world of opposition to God, are still very real, and they are formidable, and they are threatening. And the convulsive shriek of this evil spirit reminds us of that. But the ultimate outcome is not in question. Jesus taught and acted with authority, and he still does. And that authority is there for you in his word. Authority over life and death, the authority and power to give you peace and eternal hope. Claim it. Because you too, like the people at Capernaum, may be amazed at what can and will happen. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.